Shalom to all. Today's office Shalom Yuvam Staff Yotas. We are starting Yud Chesam based on the bottom with Halacha Zayin. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Meir Mitzar Bas Biyakam Moshe Hernish Shamash and Haven Aliyah. So Mishnah tells us here we have another variation of the previous case we've been discussing. Shlosha Achen. We have three brothers. Shnayim Hanesuin Shtei Achayis. Two are married to two sisters. That's Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters. VeEchad Nasui Nachris. And third one's married to a random woman. So Levi is married to a woman who's not related. Meis Achen Mibal Achayis. Let's say one of the ones married to one of the sisters. So let's say Reuven, he died. VeKanas Nasui Nachris Eshtai. And Levi did Yibam to Reuven's wife. Umeis Eshtai Shasheni. And then the wife of the second one died, which means Shimon's wife died. Va'achrakach meis nasoi nachris, and then Levi, he died. So what's happening? Levi's original wife, who's not related, and Reuven's wife, whom Levi had taken in Yibum, they're falling to Shimon. So hareza asura al v'ilamis, Reuven's wife is usher to Shimon forever. Hayol v'nasur al v'sha'aches, that's because she was usher to him at one point in time. Because when Reuven had died, so Shimon wasn't able to marry Reuven's wife because she was achay sishtai. She was the sister of his wife. And that's why Levi ended up doing Yibum. So now even though Shimon's wife is not alive anymore, so you would think that it's not a problem of a Chayis Ishtai. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. No, since at one point in time she was also because of a Chayis Ishtai through Yibam, even though now the Chayis Ishtai isn't here anymore, it doesn't make a difference. The Isser is still here. Says the Gemara, Yotes Amar Alpha on top, Shlosha Achen V'chulu, Amar Avinu, he tells us, Hadahi da Amar Rav Hila, quoting Rabbi Yossi B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, that Loi Daima Isra Chayis Yivamis, Loi Isra Chayis Sheini Yivamis. This Mishnah, this din that we just learned, shows us how there's no comparison between two sisters that are Yivamis versus sisters who are not Yivamis. Over here, the reason why Shimon is not allowed to marry Reuven's wife is not because it's two sisters falling to him b'yibum, like we've had earlier. That's called Isra Chayes Yivamais. This is the Isra of a Chayes She'enon Yivamais, like we had explained in the Mishnah, that when Reuven had died, Shimon wasn't allowed to marry Reuven's wife because she was the sister of his wife. That's a real Isra of a Chayes Isha, and that's not matured up later on because it's coming through a Yibum case afterwards. Moving on to Al-Ches, now with another variation, the Mishnah tells us, Shlosha Achen, we have three brothers, Shnayim Hanesuin Shtei Achayis, two are married to two sisters, V'Echad Nasui Nachris, the third one, Levi, is married to a random woman, not related. Now, what about this case? Girish Echad Mibalei Chayis Ishtai, one of the ones who's married to one of the sisters, divorces wife. So let's just say that Reuven divorces wife Rachel, Umeis Nasoi Nachris, and then the one who's married to the random woman Levi, he died, Mekansa Megarish, and then the one who is Megarish's wife, Reuven, he was Miyabim Levi's wife, Vemeis, and then he died. So now Reuven's only wife, which is Levi's original wife, is falling to Shimon. So Izui Sha'amru, this is about this they said, and this is learned all the way in the beginning of the first parak, Vekulon and all of them, meaning all the Arayos, in Mesu, if they had died, Oshemianu, if they did Mion, Oinizgarshu, if they were divorced, Oshinimtsu Islandis, or they found to be an islandist, Tarsain Mutaris, their Tsars are Mutar. In this case, is a case of divorce, because what had happened, Reuven, even though he was married to the sister of Shimon's wife, he had divorced her before he died. And so now, Reuven's Tsara is permitted to be married by Shimon because she's not Tsaris Erva. Reuven's not married to the Tsara anymore. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Shlosha Achen V'chulu Girish, Sorov Chaga says, B'Shem Rav Zeira, Loisev Davar B'Shigirish V'Achach Kanas. It doesn't have to be the way the Mishnah set it up. Reuven first divorced the sister, Rachel, then he married Levi's wife who wasn't related. It could be the other way around. Then he married Levi's wife, so now he's married to two women, the sister and Levi's wife, and only afterwards he divorced Rachel, the sister. It's even in that case, the Shimon is allowed to do Yibum to the Tzara, because again, she's not Tzara's Erva. Rachel, the sister, is already out of the picture. And how do we know this? Because Hadayit Tanina, that's what's taught in the Mishnah, Shemesu and Izgarshu, Tzarsein Mutarais, that if they died or were divorced, they're Tzara's her mutter. And it's mashma from this line that as long as they were out of the picture before the brother, before Reuven died, so the Tsars are mutter, and doesn't make a difference when they were out of the picture, before the Tsar was married or after the Tsar was married, as long as by the time Reuven died and his wives are falling to Yibam, the sister is not here anymore, she'd either died or divorced, so it's perfectly fine, Shimon's allowed to be miyabim the Tsara. Now Rav Yudin tells us, Afra Blazer Maida, even Rav Blazer agrees to this. We've had Shitas Rav Blazer a few times before. He tells us that Afal Pisha Batal Agairim, Ho Esser Bim Kaimai, that even though the Gairim, the cause for the Esser is not here, the Esser is still in place. So you might say in this particular situation, Rav Blazer would argue, and he would hold, that since Reuven was married to both Rachel and the random woman at the same time, so automatically that random woman, the Tsara, is considered Tsaras Erva, and even though Reuven subsequently died after already divorcing her, still the Erva would be considered a Tsara. No, that's what the Gemara is telling us. The Rav Blazer agrees in this case. And why is that? So Rabbi Yaisi tells us, V'yos, this is correct, because Ilu Mishayu Loi Banimu Mesu. Let's say a person had children, and then they died, Loi Leinu V'achach Mesu, and then the man died, Shema Ein Ishtez Gukul Yibam. Would you say his wife is not Chayv in Yibam? Of course she is. And that's because everything has to do with the time of death of the man. If when he died, he didn't have children, so his wife is Zakuk to Yibum. even though at one point in time he did have children. And so same thing, Taman, just like over there, b'shas misa, it's totally on if he has children when he died. If he does, his wife is not zakuk. If he didn't, then his wife is zakuk. V'hacha, same thing over here. V'ushidei tzara la'achar misa, she would have to be considered a tzara after he dies, or really at the time that he dies. But since by the time Reuven died, he had already gotten rid of Rachel, she's not in the picture anymore, so the tzara is not considered a tzara, and she's mutter to be taken in Yibum by Shemen. Moving on to halacha tes. The Mishnah tells us, v'kulon, all of them, meaning all these arayas we've been talking about the entire time, the 15 arayas of the first Mishnah in the Masechta, and remember they also have a tzara, shahayu lan kiddushin or gershin besafek. Let's say the Erva herself was mekudeshes or megureshes only besafek. So let's just speak this out. We have Reuven and Shimon as brothers, and the first case would be, let's say Shimon is married to a random woman, that would be the tzara, and then he's mekadesh an Erva of Reuven, but only misafek. We'll see what that means, the kiddushin is misafek, but he's mekadesh or misafek, or it could be a little bit later down the line. He was for sure married to these two women, the Erva of Reuven and the tzara, but then he was megaresh Reuven's Erva, misafek, and then he died. So what's the thing with the tzara? Is she considered tzara's Erva? Or maybe the kiddushin wasn't chal, or the gerushin was chal, and the Erva's out of the picture already. As that's what the Mishnah tells us, harei ilu chotzos v'loi misyav mois, these women, meaning the tzara, they require chalitza and no yibam. The Mishnah clarifies, ketzad safek kiddushin, what does that mean? It's safek kiddushin. So zarek la kiddusheha, he threw her kiddushin to her, he threw money or shtar to her, and there was precisely 8 amos in between them. Safek karev loi, safek karev la, it's safek, it was closer to her, closer to him. If it's closer to her, that means it's within her 4 amos, and we know that the 4 amos around the person automatically acquire for them whatever object is located there. So if it was closer to her, she's mekudeshes. If it was closer to him, she's not mekudeshes. Zehu safek kiddushin, that's safek kiddushin. Now, ketzad safek gerushin, what's the case of safek gerushin? So we have 3 cases. Kasav ksav yadai, he wrote the get in his own hand. He didn't have a cipher write it. He wrote it with his own handwriting. Ve'ein olav edim, there's no edim on it. Or yesh olav edim, there are edim on it that's signed, but ve'ein olav zman, there's no date which states when the get was written and given over. Or yesh by zman, there is a date on the get, but ve'ein by alayid echad, there's only 1 aid on the get instead of 2. So zehu safek gerushin, that's case of safek gerushin. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, v'chulin shivu lon kedushin agerushin misafek harei l'chatzos l'misyav v'sechulu. So right away, the Gemara addresses the end of the Mishnah where we discuss what safek gerushin is, and it clarifies less kan safek gerushin mamish. That's not really cases of safek gerushin. These 3 gittin that we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah really are actually d'oraisa 100% valid. It's just that the rabbanon say she's not megureshes, which means again, if she received one of the gittin that we just mentioned in our Mishnah, she's megureshes mid'oraisa, just not mid'rabbanon. So you have to based on top. We continue clarifying what does that mean? Safek gerushin, ketzad safek kiddushin. What's a case of safek kiddushin that we have in our Mishnah? Well, zarek la kiddusheha, if he threw a kiddushin to her, safek karav la, safek karav light, it's safek closer to her, safek closer to him. So safek kiddushin, that's safek kiddushin, and v'hacha, it's the same thing over here. Zark la gita, if he threw her get, safek karav la, safek karav light, it's a safek is closer to her or closer to him. Zehu safek gerushin, that's a case of actual safek gerushin. We really don't know if she's divorced. But again, those 3 gittin that we listed in our Mishnah, that's not safek. She's actually 100% megureshes mid'oraisa. It's just mid'rabbanon, she's not megureshes. Now continue to discuss this. Rabbi Yochanan says b'shem Rav Chalafta d'men Hava. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Chalafta, who's from this place called Hava. The cool in all them, all these cases where again we have Reuven and Shimon. Shimon is married to an erva of Reuven. Imni says bye. If this erva of Reuven got married with this get that she received, so like she doesn't have to leave, she doesn't have to be taken away from that new marriage. Shaloi lahitzi Liza albaneha, so as not to have a laz, a bad name come about her kids from this new marriage. If she's forced to leave the marriage after she has kids, people are going to say all those kids are mamzerim. And the halachic reason why she doesn't have to leave is because we said mid the iraisa, it was a valid get. And so once she got married with this the iraisa valid get, and she had children, we're not going to make her leave. Now, can you discuss more outcomes of this? And let's just speak out the case again. We have Reuven and Shimon as brothers. Shimon is married to an erva of Reuven's. Let's say that's Reuven's daughter, so Shimon's married to his niece, and again he divorces her with his get, which is only valid da'iraisa. And so here we're focusing on the following point: bita shenisa is l'shuk beget zeh loy teitzei. If his daughter, meaning Reuven's daughter, had married somebody random because she had gotten this get, she doesn't have to be taken away from that marriage, and we already know that. But what's the extra emphasis over here? So we point out that Shimon died without children. Now that tzara is falling to Reuven, so the reason why Reuven's daughter doesn't have to be taken away from her new marriage is kidei lazuk tzarasa l'avia, in order that there should be a zika of the tzara to her father. If you're going to tell the daughter that she has to leave her new marriage, then people are going to say, oh, it turns out that really when Shimon died, Reuven's daughter is falling to him by Yibum. We already know that she's pater, Mimila, that's going to pater the tzara, and then they're going to say the tzara is pater without Yibum. That's why we say that actually the daughter should stay married to this random person. That way it looks like the tzara is the only one that's falling to Reuven by Yibum. Then we're going to ensure that he's going to do chalitza. Continue with this, but let's say tzarasa shenisa slashuk begetze teitze. If the tzara married somebody random based off of this get that was given to her co-wife, which again was the erva, Reuven's daughter, so then she has to leave, because since the get's not valid to Rabbanon, the tzara does does have Zika Zibum, and therefore she's not allowed to marry somebody random. Another case of this, Bita Shinesis L'Achiv Begetzeh. Let's say the brother married the daughter with this get. In other words, Shimon had given a get to his niece, Reuven's daughter, and Levi, the third brother, he thought that this get was actually not valid at all, so he didn't marry her yet. Then Shimon died. So Levi says, look, the get that Shimon had given her wasn't valid anyway. Now she's falling to me Beyibum, so he marries her. In this case, Teitzei, she does have to leave, because as we already know, the get was valid Dairaisa. Therefore, Midairaisa, she's not falling to Levi Beyibum, so he's not allowed to marry her. A last scenario of this, Tsarasa Shinesis L'Achiv Begetzeh, if the Tsara married the brother with his get, again, Shimon had given his niece a get, then he died, so his brother Levi married the Tsara, because he said, look, the get was valid, and therefore, it's not a case of Tsara's Erva, or a Filula Via, even if she married her father, meaning Reuven married the Tsara, so Loi Teitzei, she doesn't leave, because Midairaisa, the get was valid, and so she's not Tsara's Erva, and therefore, she's allowed to be taken in Yibum. And continue to discuss these three get and mention the Mishnah that are valid Dairaisa, but not the Rabbanon. Let's just copy paste this to a situation of halva, of a shtar. Namely, Reuven lent Shimon money, and he wrote a shtar either just in his own handwriting without Edim, or signed by Edim, but it didn't have a date on it, or it had a date on it, but it only had one eight on it. So what's the din with this shtar? That's what the Gemara tells us. Tanu v'Abrai Sa, Shlesh Shtars Halalu, these three shtaris, Gaivim Bnei Chayrin v'Ina Gaivim Minam Shubadin, the malva, the lender, is only allowed to collect from Bnei Chayrin, but not from Shubadin. Let's just pause and explain. A shtar halva, a loan document, can be written in one of two ways, either with or without a date. Let's say, for example, on Sunday, the first of the month, Reuven lent Shimon $100. Now, if the date was written on the shtar, so when the time comes to collect, if Shimon doesn't pay up, Reuven can take from his Meshubadim, which are properties with a lien. Namely, the moment Reuven lent money, any property Shimon owned is now officially Meshubad. It's on lien to pay the loan, and so even if Shimon subsequently sold it to somebody else, Reuven can take it away as payment. However, if the shtar did not have a date on it, so Reuven can't collect from Meshubadim because there's no proof when the loan took place. It could be that Shimon sold his property before he ever borrowed the money. Therefore, Reuven can only collect from Bnei Chayrin, properties that are currently in Shimon's possession, that have no Sheba, there's no lien on them. And that's what we're saying. If we have a shtar halva written one of these ways, that's only allowed to be used for collecting from Bnei Chayrin, not from Meshubadim. Now, Omer Abba, he clarifies, this is only said, that's only if the shtar was never confirmed with the malveh, which means that this was never confirmed in Bezdin that the malvehs owed this money. That would be the, let's say, the malveh and leiveh go to Bezdin, and the leiveh admits to borrowing the money, so the Bezdin confirms that this is a valid shtar. So that's when we say that Meshubadim are not allowed to be collected from. But if the shtar was already confirmed by the malveh, they had already went to Bezdin, and the Bezdin confirmed that this was a valid halva, so Meshubadim are allowed to be collected from. However, Rabbi Yosef asks on this, if the shtar was never muchzik by the malveh, he shouldn't even be allowed to collect from Bnei Chayrin. That's because if Reuven comes with a shtar that was never muchzik in Bezdin, it doesn't have Edom on it, there's nothing, and he tells Reuven, okay, you owe me $100, Reuven can say, I don't know what you're talking about. This whole thing's a forgery, it's a fake, it's mezoyef, I don't owe you a penny, and we wouldn't require Shimon to pay. So what does that mean? That if a shtar is not muchzik in Bezdin, Shimon would still have to pay, just only from Bnei Chayrin. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elokin on Kaiman, rather, what are we referring to over here? B'shehuchzik ha-shtar b'yad malveh. That's only when the shtar is muchzik in the hands of the malveh, so then he's allowed to collect, but only from Bnei Chayrin, not from Meshubadim. So now the Gemara asked the opposite way, V'lama inay gaiveh, why doesn't he collect from Meshubadim? If you just said that the shtar is muchzik b'yad malveh, it's been confirmed by Bezdin that the malveh did lend this money to Shimon, so why is he not able to collect from Meshubadim? And here we have two different answers. Amar Bizna, he explains, Bnei Kenyunya. That's because of Kenyunya, which is a trickery. Since the shtar doesn't have a date on it, we're afraid that the malveh and loiv are in cahoots. Since the shtar was handwritten, either without proper edim or without a proper zman, the loiv is going to write the shtar as the loan taking place, let's say, on the first of the month, when it really didn't. Let's say it took place on the 10th of the month, but he's writing as if it took place on the first of the month, and on the 5th of the month, the loiv of Shimon had sold property to Levi, and the reason why he's doing this in cahoots with Reuven is so that now, when Reuven comes to collect the money, Shimon could say, I don't have the funds, so Reuven's going to go to Levi and collect that property, because officially the loan took place on the 1st, the properties were sold on the 5th, that means that they're meshubed, but really the whole thing's false. It's a kenunya, it's a trickery. In truth, the loan really took place on the 10th, and that's why, even when the shtar is mochzik and bezdin, we're only able to collect from Bnei Chayrin, not from Meshubadim. However, Oven Omer, he argues and says, Bnei Shu Pasol, it's simply because it's Pasol Midrabanon. It might be valid Dairaisa, but since the shtar is Pasol Drabanon, we're not able to collect from Meshubadim, only from Bnei Chayrin. And here he brings a riot to himself. Adkidon, Bishalav Azakin, Meshibid Azakin. Even if you want to say the Krav Bizna, that's because of a Kenunya, that would only be if the elder, meaning Shimon himself, he was the one that borrowed money, and he was Meshabid his property, meaning he sold his property to somebody else. So then we're afraid of Kenunya. But what about the following case? Lav Hazakin, Veshibid Haben. Shimon was on the borrowed money, but then it was his son who had sold his property. Ischa Meimar Bnei Kenunya. Are you able to say that the reason why we're not allowed to collect from Meshubadim is because of Kenunya? We're afraid of trickery. There's no trickery that could possibly take in place. It was the son that had sold the property, not the father who was the one that had done the borrowing. And therefore, Lo Yom Bnei Shu Pasul, wouldn't it be in that case that the reason why Meshubadim are allowed to be collected from is because the shtar Sar is just simply Pasul Drabanan. V'hacha also here, Mabinishu Pasul is because it's Pasul Drabanan. And Orav of Ravim continues saying, V'atani, we have a brisa that tells us, Af Begite Nashim Kain, then even with the get of a woman, if a woman comes to Bezin with a get that was written by her husband, it was handwritten, it didn't have Edom on it, let's say, or no date, so we will allow her to collect her ksuba with this get. However, she is not allowed to collect from Nechasim Shubadim, from property that her husband had sold. She's only allowed to collect from Bnei Chayrin. And it's the same thing here. Is the Chameimah, are you able to say Bnei Kenunya because there's some sort of trickery? There's no trickery in the case of Getin. Loim Bnei Shu Pasol. Don't we say that the reason why she's only allowed to collect from Bnei Chayrin is because Midrabanan, this is Pasol, Vahacham Bnei Shu Pasol. Same thing over here. In the case of the loan document, it's because it's Pasol. So we have two rayas for Rav Avin's Shita. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Yud with more case of three brothers. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.